I don't know if any of you is on this Comcast Internet Essentials. This machine in question has Windows 11H Home Edition installed in what they call S mode. What is S mode, and what would it not let me do if I were to get this thing?
So S mode is what they call secure mode. It's a way of directing you to download apps only from the App Store and not other things from outside the App Store.
What if I were to try to install something I've already got and execute?
It'll give you a nasty old message. But what you could do is if you go into the control panel, you go down to system, then you tab around to it says Windows Edition, and there'll be a little link to switch out of S mode. It'll take you to the App Store. You have to log in with a Microsoft ID. Then it'll let you download Windows 11 Home, and that will get you the regular Windows 11 Home. So you can switch out of S mode, but it's a little bit of extra step.
I'm just having kind of a weird problem, it turns out, with Gmail and only with Chrome, in that I cannot access the search in Gmail with multiple accounts. If I hit the slash key, and then even if there's a button that says search and it said not available or something like that, but I just tried it with Edge and it does let me do the search as normal. Yesterday I deleted all my cookies and cache, and then now I have to log back into everything, but that didn't fix it. And I did check that the Chrome and the JAWS were up to date. That's just been plaguing me for about a last couple weeks or so, but I guess I can use Edge for the meantime, but it's just some weird thing where I cannot access Gmail search.
How about if you use a client like Thunderbird or even Outlook to access your Gmail?
But you want to be able to do the web searches, which is a little quicker.
Only in Chrome, huh?
Only in Chrome, yeah.
And does anything else not work in Chrome? Like if you go to any other websites, does it?
No, that's really the only anomaly I'm noticing. I did call for the first time, the Google disability support, and they just read off like 20 different things that it hypothetically could be. And they also said, we can't go into your computer and take a look at it. Like,
what about Firefox?
I would imagine it would probably work with that, you know, but I haven't tried it yet.
Does Freedom Scientific have an idea or anything like that, since it's JAWS and Chrome?
Yeah, I could call, and I could also try it with NVDA to see if it's having the same problem.
Do you think it's a screen reader specific thing?
And then the other thing too, I could have a sighted person try it and just see if they're also not able to access the search.
What would any of you recommend if you wanted to get a new TV? You know, something that's... what's the best thing to do in terms of accessibility, and what's everybody's experience?
Again, what are we talking about? The really big TV, little TV? What's the second one? Yeah.
I would say flat screen, maybe not huge.
Like 30 inches and clear. Up, something like that?
Yeah.
The best advice I get from ChatGPT when I ask her for a TV with low vision, blind people, etc. And she recommended two TVs, LG model, and she recommended the Samsung, certain models.
We do have a Samsung TV in our TV room. It's 2014, but even back then, at least the menus will read to you. I mean, it'll get very minimum. In our bedroom, we have a Toshiba Fire TV, which of course, since it's a Fire TV, you know, everything reads on that. In theory, you know, TV's built after 2017, it's supposed to be accessible. Of course, you know, accessibility is a moving target and it's nudge wink sometimes. But I think Samsung should be okay. I think Toshiba should be okay.
Toshiba Fire TV.
And then some of the Rokus also. I have a Roku, and that has the talking menu.
I've seen Rokus at consumers' houses, and those seem to be pretty accessible,
Most of these TVs today are smart TVs. So chances are your TV's going to have the availability, for example, to run things like YouTube or, you know, right from the TV. So that's just
Amazon Prime, whatever.
Yep.
I downloaded and paid for the ChatGPT app and the advanced premium plan is. It's $20 a month. And now when I ask Siri something on my phone, it asks me if I want to ask ChatGPT to answer it. Is that just because I have the ChatGPT app, or
I'm assuming you're using either an iPhone 15 Pro or 16. Is that correct? 16E.
Yeah.
So if you go into setting Siri, there's ways that you could either turn off Siri using ChatGPT entirely, or you could have it so it doesn't ask you.
So even if I had not bought the ChatGPT app, it would still have it.
Yeah.
Siri thing because she knows what she can't do. So what's happening is Apple had made a lot of these promises of, you know, Siri being evident.
Apple intelligence.
Siri being evident this, and now it's not happening. What their compromise is, they've hooked it up with ChatGPT so that when it knows that it can't answer what you're looking for, then it's going to ask you, can I hook you up to
ChatGPT? I see. So I could cancel my premium subscription to the ChatGPT app then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Then you just get the free version of ChatGPT, which is, yeah.
I don't think I have the I get the ChatGPT all the time, and I don't think I have the
support. You got the free version.
Free version. Yeah. I guess the paid version gets you something more.
What it gets you is a later
data set version.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll
just say, for example, the rest of us could only use ChatGPT 2.0 or something.
I see. Okay.
You would get Chat 3.0.
Right. But if I'm going through Siri, it's doing just the Siri / Apple ChatGPT version. Yes. It's not tapping into my.
No, it's doing whatever Apple is paying.
Okay.
We took a picture. We got the description from Be My Eyes, John.
We took the picture in Be My Eyes. Is that what you're asking?
We took the picture in Be My Eyes, and then we got the description from there. And then we wanted to share it.
That was fine. So we've shared it, and there was no problem sharing it from Be My Eyes. That's what I think we were saying, John. What we had a problem was when we actually took a real, a regular picture, and then had Be My Eyes describe, she had it to Be My Eyes to describe it. We get the description, but at that point we could not share it out of Be My Eyes.
Oh, you know what I do? I share manually. So for instance, when I get Be My Eyes description, I do, four finger triple tap to copy that.
Okay. So then you put it in. Yeah. Okay.
And then share it, and then go to the clipboard and paste to somewhere else. And then the picture is in my camera roll, which I then share by the normal means.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
But that's because you can share it. When you're saying share it from Be My Eyes back, you have no way of getting to where it was stored on Be My Eyes.
When you take it in Be My Eyes, they describe the picture. You can then share that picture with the description. Like to a text, send it out to a text or an email, whatever. When you take the picture in the regular camera and it goes into the camera roll, you go to photos and then you can share that picture to Be My Eyes. It will describe the picture, same as where you were before, but you cannot share that description and picture from Be My Eyes.
Now you have to do it manually. Take a picture with a camera. You share with Be My Eyes from the Photos app. You copy the description as it has been spoken by doing a four-finger triple tap to the clipboard. You then go back to your photos and share the picture to, say, a text or a Mastodon post or whatever. And then you copy from the clipboard the description into, say, the body of a text. That is what I meant by share manually.
Yeah.
I thought there was a feature in Be My Eyes now, a history feature where they're kept.
After going to the horse's mouth, I guess. There actually is a history, and it does keep track of your pictures. If you're in the in Be My Eyes app, you actually do have a history of it. I'm in Be My Eyes. That's selected. At some point when you're in that, you actually see history. It says my history is available for 30 days. So when you're in the Be My Eyes in the Be My Eyes app, when you're at the Be My Eyes tab, there actually is a history button that's just below the take picture button. And it says history button. When I go into that history button, it has a list of all my.
So that picture's probably pictures. In there then, John.
Let me see if I go to one of these, if I can share it. I can flick up on these pictures. And I can say keep, share, delete, activate. So I see all the pictures that all the things I've done over the last month. There's they say descriptions. Okay, so I can And at that point, I can flick up on it. I can keep it and share it. So I must have shared it at some point. Delete it. Let's see what happens if I do keep. It says keep. It doesn't say what it actually does. I wonder if it actually at that point goes to the camera roll.
Oh, you know, John, try to share that with Jeanette. Because then
See if it goes to it as a text.
See if it says photo, because it'll say photo. If it,
When I say share, it actually tells, it gives me a warning that says, so it's actually going to share a link. So I share the link. I know when we shared, and I got the same message when we shared it to Jeanette's sister. She actually got the picture. So this looks like the same interface.
Shared chat. So I have to log in.
Yeah, it's probably a link to a chat.
So don't have. Does it say image or photo? Yep,
but the description of how to use the safe is in there. It is the description. It says shared chat, but it's the actual words of the description.
It actually is a chat. When you interact with Be My AI or the other one, PixieBot is another similar app, you actually initiate a chat session in probably, I think it's ChatGPT, because you can ask for more details. You can, like, you get the description. You can ask for more details in that chat box. And it's just a session with ChatGPT, with the initial question being, what is in this image?
The point of the actual description showed up in text when he shared that link that way.
Yes. All right. Yeah. So I guess they are sharing everything. Well, I learned something new.
It's kind of stinky that you couldn't just do it straight from one and then even from the camera roll. But what David said is exactly right. You could just get the description, you know, share it from the camera roll and just shove the description into the text message too. So you get, it's really the same description.
I have a couple computers here. One of them, for a project I'm working on, and I'm trying to get it speak through a Braille and speak, which has always been a supported external synthesizer. So on one computer, which is not the computer I need to use it on, just go into the JAWS, into the synthesizer and Braille display manager, go into synthesizers, click on add, and I get a list of about 15 different displays. Synthesizers like Apollo and DeckTalk and Braille and Speak and all that stuff. Nice big list is about, and just click off what I need there. Problem is that's not the computer I need to do it on. So I go on to the other two computers and I get a much truncated list. And of course, Braille and Speak is not in the truncated list. It's stuff like DeckTalk, Braille Speak, and there's only about 8 or 9 items in that list. Tried reinstalling JAWS, ripping out all Freedom Scientific components, reinstalling. And that's about the only help that Freedom Scientific could think of. They did befuddled by this one too. And what's very interesting is that if on the computers that don't show all the synthesizers, if I go into program files, Freedom Scientific, and go into the synthesizer folder, you can actually see the JLS files. Like for instance, for Braille and Speak, it's bns.jls. So the drivers are actually on the hard drive. It's just that JAWS would not actually recognize them or allow me to
pull them in. Yeah.
I go back and say install a demo of a version of like JAWS 16.
Yeah, I tried that on one of the other computers that I'm not too fond of. And that didn't fix it either.